Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Wherever you're at today, would you join me in praying as we head into this message? And I just invite you, wherever you're at, just to bow your heads. Lord, we come before you, and we are so thankful that we can depend on you, even in times that might seem to us to be uncertain, even in times when we're wondering what's around the corner. Lord, you already know. You've already seen, and you keep your eyes on us. We thank you for that, that we can be solid in you and in your love and in your grace and in your mercy. And Lord, I pray over these next few moments that your word will speak to us right where we're at today and what we're walking through. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I am really thankful that we have the opportunity to connect together today. Once again, it's different than what we're used to. And as I'm talking with people, I'm hearing a lot of people say, I can't wait for us to get all back together, be able to connect together and shake hands and do all that, right? And it's coming, I believe, but for right now, we're still connecting. It's just is different than what we're used to. And I'm thankful for the team that's been working hard to make all of this possible for us to be able to share God's word together today and just be in his presence together. And I'll tell you what, even in the midst of all that's going on, God is still moving. God is still doing things. God is still changing lives. And we have an opportunity right here, right now, to see a water baptism that took place just a couple days ago. And if you've been a part of this church for a while, you know that when we do water baptisms, we get pretty excited at CCC. We cheer, we clap, we do all of that. So I'm giving you permission right now that as you're watching these next video clips about a baptism that took place this week, cheer, clap, get crazy. Maybe you want to stand on your couch, kids, all right? That is okay. Wait, if it's okay with your parents. But we're going to get excited today because God is still changing lives. Check this out.
Hello, my name is Quinn, and I'm getting baptized. About 4 months ago, I didn't realize I was struggling in my life, but I was just making a lot of poor choices and bad decisions, and marijuana became legal, and I started smoking it, and I just really felt fine until I didn't feel fine. And I didn't know what was perpetuating what, and why my anxiety was getting out of control, and why I was starting to feel depression. And I had asked myself a question on the ride home, like I was driving home from work, and I had said to myself, if I died right now, would I go to heaven? And I couldn't answer that question. And the thought of me not being able to answer that question made me get right off the topic. And I just went home and didn't think about it again. And I think a couple Sundays later, I ended up coming to church, and the end of the service prayer, the salvation prayer, when everyone says it, I said it. But I meant it. I think really this time I meant it. And so things started to slowly change, and like not slowly change, but they kind of really started to change quickly. I felt different in my heart. My outlook on life was different. And so then because my anxiety wasn't there and because I had quit the things that weren't good for me in my life, I ended up just making better decisions, and I was coming to church more regularly. And just having a relationship with God has been insurmountably the best decision I could have made. It's his grace. It's honestly God's grace that has saved my life. Because out of all the things I've done in my life, out of all the poor choices and bad decisions and people I've hurt and things that I've said, he saved me. He saved me from those things, and he also forgave me, and that's just, it's given me a new lease on life. I'm being baptized today because I want to be obedient. Delayed obedience is disobedient, and I don't want to be disobedient. I want to I guess there's nothing special about the water, but it's about the next step. Because I'm already born again, and this is my next step.
We are super excited about your commitment to Jesus and your desire to share that with everybody. And the Word of God says that we can be confident of this, that he who began, so God, who began a good work in us will continue it.
It's a promise. We'll continue it until the day of Jesus Christ when he returns. So we know that God's already working in your life, and he's going to continue to do that. And so we're excited about the opportunity now to experience water baptism with you and with your kids. And we're just excited about what God's going to keep doing in the future. So if you want to just step up here a little bit, and because of the profession of your faith in Jesus, because of your desire to follow him for the rest of your life, we now baptize you, Quinn, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, that was awesome. Hopefully you are cheering loud right now because of what God is doing in people's lives. And we as a church, we're all part of it, right? We're all part of what God is doing. He's flowing through us and he's doing things in us as well. And we are so thankful for Quinn and for what God is accomplishing in her. And I tell you what, God's not done. God wants to do something in your heart, I believe, even today and throughout this day and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. We can be confident of that. Well, the title for today's message is simply this: When Normal is on Hold. And I'm sure that there are a number of things you can think of right now that you consider to be normal. You consider to be everyday normal life, and now it's suddenly not. The rhythm of your life, maybe where you're working at, whether it's at home now instead of the office. Shopping is different. There are so many things that just aren't normal. We have found that even going on a walk isn't normal. Just a couple days ago, Lacey and I went on an evening stroll, and she decided to bring the dog with us, which I know if she's bringing the dog with us, quality time is out the window, all right? It's not happening because our dog is socially awkward. Maybe it would be a good way to describe him, where he just doesn't get out a whole lot. He doesn't have much of a social life, and so when we get out on the sidewalk, dog goes crazy, like nutso, going darting here, darting there, making his mark wherever he can, dropping bombs on the neighbor's lawns, doing it all. We're like, no! And so we're literally pulling the dog. He's pulling us, whatever it might be, walking along the sidewalk. And then that moment of truth happens when we look and there are two people that are coming toward us on the sidewalk. What do we do? What do we do? Do they think that we have COVID? Do they think that I have recently coughed? Are they checking my hands to see if they're red from washing them so many times? Like, what's going on? I mean, do they think I think they think that I think that they have COVID? What we're just trying to figure this out as we're walking along there, and we're getting closer and closer, and I'm more of like, let's just walk beside them, but I hope it's not too awkward for them. Lacey with the dog decides to go off-road, and she takes the dog because she thought the dog would bother them, which is probably a valid point. And she literally goes off-road all the way off the sidewalk, through the yard, into the street, and starts walking on the street. So here am I. What do I do? Moment of truth. I had to decide, am I going to my wife here, or am I just going to try to play it cool like nothing's happening in our world, and I'm going to walk right beside, slide right past, maybe do a high five to the people that are coming down the pike. Everything, it seems like it's shaken up. Everything that we considered normal is suddenly not normal. And I've heard from a number of people who are very concerned, and with good reason, with what's happening in our world, but I've also heard from a lot of people recently who are dealing with a different emotion, and it's the emotion of disappointment, because so many things that they had planned are now not happening. That school event, that sport, that activity, that spring break trip, that plan that they had is now not going to happen exactly like they had planned it to be. Just this week, someone was talking with me on the phone, and they joked that they're going to starve because their spouse doesn't cook and all the restaurants are closed. There's disappointment. And don't you know that this is true? Whenever disappointment comes, it causes us to question, are we going to get it back? Are we going to get normal back? What happens if it never gets back to normal? When normal is on hold. And there's a family in the Old Testament that I want to talk about for just a few minutes with you today that really had their normal tragically altered. And although it begins as a real heartbreaking story, as you go through this passage, we're going to find that there are several relevant principles that can help us as we walk through a time when our normal is kind of shaken up, when our normal is on hold. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 4. And in this passage, we're going to be reading about a normal family as far as we can tell. Mom, dad, two kids. They were living in the nation of Israel at that time. It would have been around 850 BC. And the two kids were two boys. I'm sure they were active. Maybe they're involved in sports, involved in school, all of those things. Now, there are a lot of details that we don't know about this family, but we do know that faith was a big part of their journey. The scriptures tell us that this man was someone who worshiped the one true God, and this was a man who was even involved in a company of prophets, so they were doing God's work. I mean, this was just normal life for them, and I want you to kind of think of them at the beginning of this passage, just a normal family doing normal life with normal problems, having normal joys, just doing life. And life was normal until suddenly it wasn't. And we see that in verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 4, where the text reads, "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.'" Now this passage hits hard and hits fast with bad news. And it's like the bad news just keeps coming. First of all, we read that the husband, the father, has passed away. Suddenly the protector, the provider, the spiritual leader of this home is gone. And then as the bills begin to mount because this lady is trying to keep food on the table for her two boys, trying to keep them in school, it mounts so much to where there's a debt that for her is insurmountable. And then one day, the mafia shows up. One day, loan sharks show up. And these are loan sharks with teeth. This was not uncommon in the ancient Near East where people would come to receive payment for that debt. And if you couldn't pay for it, then they very well might take your children. And these children would be taken and made to be slaves probably for the rest of their lives in order to pay off your debt. I mean, things went from normal to not normal, boom, just like that. And for most of us, it's impossible to put ourselves in these shoes, to think about the tragic loss of the husband, the father, that family member, and then to think about this being compounded in the situation of our kids being potentially taken as slaves, never seeing them again, knowing that their life is going to be horrendous. It's hard to even imagine what that would be like. Well, for this woman, that was what suddenly was going on in her life. And interestingly, she did what probably any one of us would do at that point. She cried out for help. We see that she actually cried out to the man of God, Elisha. And you might, well, why didn't she just cry out straight to God? Why did she cry out to Elisha? Well, at that time, it was very, very common that if someone wanted to get God's attention, if someone wanted something from God, often what they would do is they would go to the man of God. They would go to the person that God had designated for that time to be one who would bring messages from God, one who would pray for people, one who would let people know, you need to turn to God, you need to do this, you need to do that. And so this was very common for her to go to the man of God in order to talk to God. So thankful that we don't have to do that now. We can go straight to the heavens, we can go straight to the Lord as He's opened up that way for us to meet with God in our time of need. Well, she reached out to the man of God. She cried out to him, and I love then the response. Because Elisha turns to her in her moment of grief, in her moment of crying out to him and trying to get God's attention. And he says this, "How can I help you?" Isn't that such a refreshing question when you're walking through something difficult and you don't know what to do? Sometimes that can be an annoying question if you're shopping and you just want to look and how can I help you? And people are like, oh, I don't need help right now. I'm just trying to get out of here without spending money, okay? That's my goal. How can I help you? Sometimes that is a refreshing question because you don't know what to do in that situation. You don't know what's coming down the pike. And Elisha, the man of God, representing God in that situation to her and speaking on God's behalf for her, said, "How can I help you?" And I believe that this was a moment when compassion, literally the compassion of God, reached down into the situation of this woman. You know, that is one of the key attributes of the nature of God. He reveals himself as being the one who is gracious and compassionate. And I believe that not for a moment was God's eyes off of this little family. He knew exactly what they were walking through. He knew exactly the moment when normal suddenly wasn't normal. Often I've found that God's compassion actually is revealed through God's people. God cares, but often he shows that care to us or to others. Often it's through us. It's through God's people. And that is exactly what took place in this passage where Elisha was the man of God, and yet he was revealing God's compassion to this woman through his words. How can I help you? And then he asks a very unique, seemingly inappropriate, odd question, and it's this: what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And I find this odd because here's this woman who has basically nothing. Obviously, she has basically nothing because the loan sharks have come and they are taking her kids away. She doesn't have anything of value. The mafia doesn't come and break your legs if you have something of value in your house. You could just give that to them. Well, in this case, Elisha says, "What do you have in your house?" Interestingly, as we read through Scripture and as you go through life, we find that there are times, many times, when God does things differently than we would do them. Have you ever found that God's timetable is different than your timetable? He just has a way of God just has this way of doing things that we never would have thought of, and doing them in such unique ways that only he could get glory for it, because we can't take any credit for that miracle. And often when God works in our lives, and often when God is going to do a miracle, he offers a volunteer sign-up sheet. Who wants in? Who wants to be part of this? What do you already have? What have I already given you that you could submit, that you could surrender, and then I'll take it, that's God speaking, I'll take it, boom, and I'll bless it, and it's going to be an extraordinary miracle. Often we see God doing this in Scripture in our lives. We see this in this passage. Tell me, what do you have in your house? And so she had an evaluation time where she had to really think about this, because her first response, well, pretty much nothing. Pretty much nothing in my house of any value. And then she thought a little bit more. Well, okay, there is a small jar over here on this shelf way over here that I kind of forgot about, but it's there. It has a little bit of oil in it. Oil was used for cooking. It was used for lamps at that time. And a little bit of oil in a little bitty jar. What happens in this passage is that what little she had was exactly what God used to provide a miracle. It was, in fact, a seed for a miracle. Even though it was small, it was what God chose to use in that moment to bring about something great for these people, because he cared for them so much. Elisha said to her, verse 3, "Well, go around then and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you, shut the door even behind your sons. Pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She then came to a decision time. Was she going to take this crazy advice to go take all of her friends' jars, bring them to her house, shut her door, and then her and her kids just like sit there? She had an opportunity there to follow the advice of the man of God, or she didn't have to. Would she seize that moment that God was given to her from his compassion? And I believe that something great would happen if she would. Well, what do we read? She did. She went into her house, In that decision time, after having her sons go out and get all those jars, they brought all the jars in. Here they are. They're together. And she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God. And he said, "Go sell the oil. Pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." I love that this woman actually did this. How many of us would have done that? I love that she actually saw this as an opportunity for a miracle, and she actually did this. Going around begging, how humbling was that? Begging the neighbors for jars. And then telling her sons, "Turn the video games off. Now it's time for us to get together, and we're going to get jars together. We're going to pour oil." They're like, "Great, sounds like fun." But she did it. And I love that she joined her kids in this step of faith. This was a huge step of faith. I love that her kids had a story that they would never forget for the rest of their life. I mean, what story are they telling on their first date? It's this story right here. You won't believe what God did one time. Oh my goodness, miraculous. It just kept pouring, kept pouring, kept pouring. I love that God came through. He always does. This passage begins with God's compassion. How can I help you? And it ends with God's provision. Here's what you need. Not just for today, but for tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. I want you to know that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're following him, that tomorrow morning when you wake up, your day begins with God's compassion. He sees you. He sees what you're walking through. He knows you. It begins with God's compassion, and I can guarantee you that it will end with God's provision, because that's what God does. He cares so much, he has such compassion, that he provides. And often it's not on our timetable. And often it's not how we would look at it happening. But no. God just does it his way. Begins with compassion. You watch it tomorrow. It's going to end with God's provision. We can rest. We can rest. You can rest in the reality of God's compassion. He sees you. He cares about you. And you can rest in the reality of his unparalleled ability to provide everything that you need every single day. Every single day. He is that good. And we do live in uncertain times right now. We are in an unprecedented time where we're wondering what's around the corner. And the things that we consider to be normal, they're on hold. Many of them are on hold. And so I want to give you, just from this passage, and then one bonus principle about some things that you can be doing, I can be doing today, tomorrow, and the next day as we walk through this week, just some practical principles, some relevant principles for us and what we can do when normal is on hold. The first one I want to bring up is this. When normal is on hold, turn to the one who can actually do something about it. Turn to the one who can actually do something about it. I love what it says in Isaiah. "So do not fear," God says, "for I am with you. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." What a promise. Would you get that into your spirit today? What a promise. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be dismayed. For God promises to strengthen us, help us, and uphold us with his righteous right hand. That's that provision that God brings to us because of his compassion. And if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, my challenge to you is to keep placing your faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for our governmental authorities. We pray for medical advances. But remember, our trust and our dependence cannot be in governmental mandates. They can't be in vaccinations. Our ultimate dependence can't be in hand sanitizer. Our ultimate dependence has to be securely attached to the one who gives us our daily bread, the one who has ordained every single one of your days before one of them even came to be. The one who knows what you have need of before you even ask him. What can we be doing when normal is on hold? Turn to the one. Run to the one who can actually do something about it. Secondly, I think it's really important when normal is on hold to do a 360 degree evaluation. This is what this woman did. Like, what do I have? What do I have? What do I have? Romans chapter 12 says that we have different gifts. That means you have a gift. You have something that God has given to you. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. And when you look at your life, when you look at maybe your possessions, when you look at maybe your situation, you might feel like you don't have anything. Well, that person's very talented. That person has everything that they need. That person, we can look at other people, we can look at other things and be like, it's so much better there with them, whatever. No, the scripture says we have different gifts according to the grace that God has given to us. And I encourage you over these next couple days to do a 360 degree evaluation of what you have. What do you have that God could use to impact somebody else? What do you have that when normal is on hold, God can use for good? What do you have that God could potentially take, even though you might consider it to be small, and God could use that as a seed for a miracle in somebody else's life? What do you have? You have time? Do you have time to pray? Do you have time to reach out to someone? Do you have a social media account that you could use to encourage other people? Do you have a phone? Do you have a vehicle? Maybe there's space in there to pick up groceries for somebody else. Do you have connections with neighbors and friends that you could connect with in order to see if there's any need there? I mean, what do you have? Do you have creativity? Do you have ideas? Do you have finances? What do you have? And it's so important for us to take a moment when we pause, normal's on hold, and we look around, okay, God, in this situation, in this unique time, what have you given me? What do I already have that you would potentially want to use in order to impact other people? What do you have? When normal's on hold, do a 360 degree evaluation, because even though you might not feel like you have everything, you have something. And when that something is surrendered to the Lord, Lord, this is all I have, but it's yours. And when you surrender that to the Lord, I believe God can take that and use that as a seed for a miracle in somebody else's life. Third, when normal is on hold, maximize the moments that you've been given. Maximize the opportunities that you've been given. Maximize the season, the chapter that you're in right now. Ephesians chapter 5 says, make the most of every opportunity. The book All In shares that in 1976, Apple Incorporated was founded by three men. Steve Jobs, who eventually became the CEO and is the most famous of the three, but you've probably also heard of Steve Wozniak, who is the mastermind who invented the Apple I and the Apple II computers. Now, you probably haven't heard of the third member of the Apple threesome. His name, Ronald Wayne, and it was Wayne who actually sketched the first logo. He's the one who came up with the first manual. He's the one that came up with the first partnership agreement. And at the very beginning stages of Apple, Ronald Wayne had a 10% share in Apple. But less than 2 weeks after getting his 10% share, he sold out for $800. Now, to some, that might seem like a lot of money, but let me put this in context. At the writing of this book, All In, there were 940 million active shares trading consistently about $500 per share. So that 10% stake would have been worth a measly $47 billion. A missed opportunity that ended with regret. And I found that in my own life, when I miss opportunities, when I miss what God is wanting to teach me, when I miss the things that God is wanting me to be about during a certain chapter or during a certain season, I regret it every single time. Missed opportunities end with regret. And so I want to challenge you to maximize these moments in this unique chapter that we're in. students, you probably have a little bit more time on your hands than you previously had. Maximize those moments. I challenge you to seek God like you've never sought Him before. I challenge you to cry out to God about what your future might be, like what He might have for you in the days to come. I challenge you to maximize these moments in praying for your friends and getting into the Word and even reading stories about people who have done incredible things for God throughout history. Couples, parents, challenge you to maximize these moments for intentional conversations. Maybe digging down a little deeper into issues that might be there. Going to God in prayer about those. I challenge you to take time with each other when the TV's turned off and you are encouraging each other and helping each other grow in the faith. For all of us, I challenge you to maximize these moments. Enjoy some unhurried moments with Jesus this week. Now I got to get to the next thing. No, enjoy some unhurried moments with the Lord this week in worship and in prayer and spending time in the Word. And then look for ways where you can then impact other people. I have been already so blown away, inspired, not even surprised, I would say unsurprised, because of how amazing this church is, as I'm hearing stories already. I talked with someone this week on the phone who had just returned from taking groceries to an elderly person in our church. I heard about another person in our church who contacted all of the widows in their area just to see if they're okay. And get this, you're going to love this. People from CCC, some of us, people from CCC have already contacted 150 seniors in our congregation just to see, do you need any groceries? Is there anything that we can do to help? Do you need a ride to a doctor's appointment? This church is stepping up. What are we doing? We're maximizing these moments. Yes, it's a unique time, but it's an opportunity when normal's on hold to say, I'm going to seize the day. I'm going to seize this opportunity. God, use me to make an impact in someone else's life. Finally, I believe something that we can do when normal is on hold is this, is to create a new normal. As I've been praying about the season that we're in, this is just really on my heart. How does it all look? I don't know. But God, help us to not miss what you're doing in us right now. In these moments that we have, teach us, show us, reveal to us what we can be doing that maybe needs to become a new normal in us as a church, as families, as marriages, as individuals, as teenagers, as kids. Well, God, what are the things that need to be the new normal? Paul the Apostle wrote this, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward, pressing toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul saying, look, there's some things in the past and thank God for them, but I'm pressing on to the new. This is a new chapter. This is a new normal. And there are so many things just like you that I can't wait to get back to normal. But what if there are some things that God is wanting to change in us? What if there are some things that God is wanting to teach us? See, often we want God to get everything back to normal for us. And I think sometimes God is wanting to get a new normal into us. And I believe this is one of those times where God is going to want to teach us and He's going to want to reveal things to us. And I want you to be thinking about that. And even after this service is done, I know that there are a number of you that are engaging in this service as an individual. There are others of you that are in a living room with family members, maybe with friends or with members of your small group, and you're just thinking about this. And this would be a great discussion point at the conclusion of the service, just to think about that. Okay, what is it that God might want to teach me during this time? What is something that I'm doing now that's really good that might need to become part of my new normal? Maybe it's intentional relationships. Maybe it's connecting with other believers. And you're like, oh, I need to have this in my life. This needs to be a new normal in my life. It's the time in the Word and in the prayer that's unhurried. It's more time with spouse, more time with kids. What are some things that could become a new normal in your life as we continue to navigate through this season. For some that are engaging in this message today, you might be at a place where you've drifted from God. And for you, you have the potential for a new normal. For you to come to a place where you are engaged with God again, when you're following Him again. You know, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this world. And Paul the Apostle, who actually wrote this passage previously, has said, "I count all things but loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus." Paul the Apostle was one that, in the world's eyes, seemed to have everything. But when he encountered Jesus, suddenly those things that were so important, those things that were priorities, those things that caught his attention, rubbish, garbage, compared to knowing Jesus. And if you have drifted from God, I want you to know right now, right in this moment, you have the opportunity to run to God. That you can turn to Him, that He can become number one in your life again. He can become your main pursuit. He can become out of which then you live your life for His glory. And I'm praying that if you've drifted from God, that even today, you get down on your knees and say, "Lord, I'm coming to You. I'm running to You. I'm surrendering to You. I want You, Lord Jesus, to be the Lord of my life." Would you please join me as I pray? Lord, I'm thankful for the constants of Your presence and of Your word that is true, that stands firm in the heavens no matter what happens in our world. And Lord, we as believers know that in the midst of our normal being shaken, Lord, You are not shaken. Therefore, we don't need to be shaken. And so, Lord, we rest in You. We stand on the solid rock that is Jesus. And I pray that as we go through this week, Lord, that there will be such power and such anointing on every single person's life, and that we will lean into Your presence like never before, maximizing these moments with You so that You can do a work in us and then through us. And Lord, we dedicate ourselves to You, and we pray that You will continue to do a work not only in our communities, but in this nation, in this world. May our world turn to You through this time and see the deliverance that only You can provide. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Before we go into a final worship song where we lean into the presence of God, I want to have up on the screen in a moment a couple scriptures that are from the book of Psalms that are promises. And I want us to declare these together as we read them. And let's place the emphasis not on ourselves, but let's place the emphasis completely on this amazing God that we serve that is always unshaken. Let's do this together. "Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Amen.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.